Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. What's up, everybody? I'm here with Matt Walland. And just so you guys know, Matt has a YouTube channel. And if you guys haven't checked that out, go ahead and check that out now. He does the YouTube top reviews on pretty much all the smaller boats. So what are you coming in at about 140, 135, 140?
Yeah, usually 135, 140 on a good day. I have a couple beers in me, maybe.
Well, see, there you go, 145. Well, after some Cascades laps, I think I lost 10 pounds after 10 Cascades laps. So
that downward West Fork walk with Sting running by Yellow Jackets.
I got stung, by the way. I actually have video of me doing that Russian, like, dance. I got stung on my legs, and CJ went jumping around. So I got some funny video that's going to be included in the on-water review of the –
I got three of those in my legs to go with that run.
Yeah, in this little podcasting / video, whatever it is, we're going to be going over the new Dagger Kayaks code. Matt actually had a chance to get in the small for the weekend. I did the large and the medium, so we both have pretty good experience, probably more experience than a lot of people, actually, because we did a lot of paddling over like 3 days, so it's like, I'd like to hear your opinion on the small, and I'll have an on-water review coming on the medium / large. I won't go much into the large, but Matt will have like a walk around coming on the small. So that'll be out. I think it's premiering tomorrow, but by the time this is done, it's probably already out. So you guys can go check out the small. And he'll go over it kind of like what I did about, like, because each design is a little different. They're all kind of different. So just because the medium has like 16 inches of rocker, that don't mean the small does. Just because the medium has a more softer rail, that don't mean the small does. Because what Dagger does, they don't just take a CAD and then upsize it like 10% or whatever. They design boats for each size. So it can be a completely different design. Piranha does that too. That's why the small Scorch might be different than the medium. The medium might be different than the large, and the medium is different than the large. So they don't just upsize CADs. Does that make any sense?
No, yeah. I mean, even looking at the Scorch videos, the small Scorch looks totally different than the medium and large. They're looking like they're doing the stern of the Scorch X on the small Scorch. So be interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah, and the video he's referring to is Sal Montgomery. She's one of the team paddlers for Piranha, and she's got one of the first small Scorches out there. And then I went and checked that out too, and he's right. What it looked like Piranha has done on the small Scorch, they've made the medium and large, if you've seen my reviews or his review on it, it's like a wide back end on those. And it looks like what they've done with the small. Is that right, Matt? It's like it's real narrow.
Yeah, it looks real, real thin on the end if you look at it. Plus, it's got the same decal like the X, which is, it's just interesting. If you see her video of her surfing and stuff, the actual bow looks like it kind of concaves in a little bit too compared to the bow of the medium and large, where they're just kind of, you know, shaped off on one side or the other.
Like they're more.
I don't know if you noticed that, but the bow actually looks like it concaves in kind of like an ozone a little bit. Angle she's paddling, but
this is a production one, right?
That she says it's a prototype on her Instagram account. So,
oh, if it's a prototype, I kind of give those a pass. But if it's one of their first run productions, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes a manufacturer will run like a few batches because she's there in the UK. So she's getting them right out of the damn oven probably. So it's like those could be all wonky and they're trying to find out the shape on it. Just a theory. I mean, I don't know. I don't know until we see it.
For sure.
So, yeah, do you know, have you already purchased one?
I can't buy one yet, but I'm definitely going to buy one. You know me.
By the way, everybody, this dude, he might have a slight issue with purchasing new boats. He just got a brand new code. Is that right? You just picked it up from the NOC?
That's right. NOC has my life savings for sure. Johnny Ortiz, you know.
Well, unfortunately, it probably doesn't go in Johnny's. Does he get a commission?
I don't think so. Maybe just a pat on the back or something.
He should at this point.
He should.
Yeah. So
no, I mean, in reality, though, it's I do it for the YouTube channel in some aspects, but I do buy a lot of boats. I was like, hell, I might as well do a YouTube channel based off small boats because no one else does anything.
No, and that's one of the things that we have talked about is how there's no like smaller YouTubers out there. And a lot of the team people, men or women that paddle for these manufacturers, they don't focus on YouTube. So it's almost like they'll throw something out on their Instagram or Facebook and they'll call it a day. It's like, okay, I did my part. It's like a 8-second clip of like just picking a boat up.
Yeah. It's always, I mean, when I was looking at boats, it's always nice to see non-professional people per se to give a review or their point of view on a boat.
Well, I mean, the big thing, non-sponsored by the company.
Well, that too. Yeah. I mean, because any pro can make a boat look good, even if it's a piece of crap. So
yeah. And you know,
it is what it is.
That's one of the things is like when I was testing boats for Dagger, it was like, I always kept in mind that, you know, even though I paddle a little harder and a little stronger, I have to keep in mind from a beginner standpoint, because then I would do like a review on it for them. So this was like 5-6 years ago. I would take a design and I would paddle it. And then I would have a spreadsheet where I talked about initial stability, secondary stability, edging, eddy turns, you know, just all the normal stuff that we talk about in reviews. And one of the things is, you know, I can't just say, oh, it did this great. I had to think of it from a like a new buyer's perspective. Like, I can't just say, oh, yeah, every one of the team guys are going to love this. But there were some of them, you're like, oh, the team guys will love this, but you'll never fucking sell one. Like, I guarantee nobody's going to buy one with that squirrely ass tail.
I mean, that's a good idea to have those things ahead of time when you're doing a review. I started doing a little bit of that, too, like thinking like, hey, I need to think about this and that and that and that. When you start doing reviews, you just kind of do basic stuff. But, yeah, and more I've done, I've realize I need to focus more on different things, but it's not about who has a better YouTube channel or who's getting more views. It's really about the people out there and getting knowledge out there to them and making the best, having them have the knowledge for the best decision making when they buy or demo a boat or whatever.
Yeah, that was the whole reason of doing YouTube was, yeah, because I couldn't memorize all that stuff while I was paddling. So I started putting GoPros on and paddling boats. And then I would like say what I thought about it as I was paddling, and I would take that footage and give it to the design team, which is a cool experience. And then I was like, dude, after I left Dagger, I was like, I'm going to start posting this on YouTube. You know what? I'm just going to start doing that and post. And it's to help people out. Same thing as what you were just saying was if I can get more information out, because I feel bad if somebody gets a boat on my recommendation and then they don't like it. And I feel like I failed. I feel like I failed.
No, I get that. Yeah. It's always a hard thing, especially with the half slice market. Holy crap. Like everybody's like, which half slice do you get? I'm like, it depends on so many different factors. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't want to give bad advice to people, but you give the facts and, you know, the best thing I can always say is go really demo a boat, meaning outfit it and demo it for a whole day. Like you can't just hop in a boat at NOC and go down class 2 and say, oh, I demoed a boat. Like, you got to put that thing on some least class 4 water, outfit it the way you want. And that's really why I buy boats. I mean, yeah, some people would say it's stupid, but the only way I get the actual feeling for a boat is outfit it the way I want and paddle on some good rivers. And that might mean taking a loss on a boat, but that's okay with me.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a poorly outfitted boat where you can't. And that's another thing. I've tried to make videos of outfitting videos, and I try to preach about outfitting, because when you're not outfitted, you can't transfer that energy as well. You can't feel the current. And it shocks me when I meet people and they don't even have any hip pad foam in. They're just like sitting in the seat. And when they roll over, sometimes they just fall out. And they're like, I can't roll. I was like, you're falling out of the fucking boat, dude. I was like, you don't even have any foam in there. It's like, well, I don't want to get stuck in it. I'm like, you're not getting stuck. You're fine.
Well, especially with Piranha and being a small guy, like Piranha, you got to outfit your, I mean, you got to put in hookers. You got to raise the seat with pads. I mean, I got
to. Oh, it's a puzzle.
I mean, there ain't no just getting in a Piranha and paddling. If you do, you're not truly paddling a Piranha. It's not a bad thing necessarily. It's just that's what you got to do with them. And
yeah,
like you said, to engage those edges. Like when I was paddling that medium Scorch, I still actually haven't paddled it with it fully outfitted because CJ, my buddy CJ, has it now. But you know, when I paddled with you on the Koei that day, like I didn't have it outfitted the way I wanted to, so it was hard to engage the edges. And you know, that's one thing people got to remember when they try these boats out. They can't just jump in and be like, "Oh, that sucked," because didn't do the way I wanted to. You really got to outfit it and make sure, especially make sure your hips and thighs are engaged.
And a lot of people run seat pads. I don't run seat pads in a lot of boats, but you know, you ran a seat pad, and a lot of people need to be elevated up. If you, I don't know, do you remember how low that Scorch medium felt? To me,
oh, yeah.
I would even run a seat pad in it. I didn't have one in it, but I was like, if I would have kept that boat, I would have had a seat pad in it, because the Scorch set very low. It's a very, and Piranha seats in general set low. If you notice that, they're very,
they
swallow you up into the boat.
Yeah, I had five seat shims in a small ozone that I had one time. So I get that. See,
there you go.
Even in the small Ripper, I got three seat pads in.
I'll tell you one outfitting that, yeah, we can go on about outfitting, because I can tell you, I don't know how many Jackson boats. I think you paddle a lot of Jackson boats, actually. The thing with Jackson boats, it functions really well. When I first seen that shoestring shit, I was like, why do they put shoestrings on your bulkhead, on your back bend? But one thing I found out real quick after paddling Nirvana and for paddling the Antics, it works really good. It's a really good, I just don't like the way the knee position and the way their thigh hooks are. And I'm not a big fan of their bulkhead system either, but it all works. It really does work.
Yeah, I don't mind the creek boat outfitting so much, but like the happy feet or whatever they call
it,
that the pump stuff on your feet, that's terrible. Like the rock star. Another thing is I'm a fan on the rock star is the seat, the happy seat. Like every time you get in, it's different and just annoying. Like
I'm a foam guy. I just put mini cell foam and then glue it and I'm set. I like something really nice and confirmed that I can push off of when I'm trying loops or cartwheels. That thing would just move from side to side all the time. I don't know how those guys use it personally.
No, outfitting Dagger's got it figured out, to be completely honest. I like the Waka personally too, but yeah, Dagger's the best. Just personally.
Well, yeah. Well, I agree. You know what surprised me was how simplistic Waka was and how well it functioned. You notice it works really well. But I mean, their bulkhead's unsafe. Their bulkhead has gaps at the top and bottom. If you peach on something, your foot could go behind that bulkhead and stick you in the boat. What else? Their plastic grab handles. Jesus Christ. We could go on all fucking day about who's going to put a plastic strip.
We could about that, because my go, you know, the Ghost's one of my go-to boats, but if I get pinned, I might die. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, that'd be a way of testing that plastic grab handle, because, you know, I'd love to get someone like EG on here and have him go on, because I'll argue that with him. Like, what are you fucking thinking, dude? Who's going to put plastic on grab handles?
So, yeah, man, about the code, it's a sweet boat. I got it here in the background. You can't see it, but I tested it out on the Cascades for one lap after paddling the medium Ripper. Definitely felt a lot better in that than the medium Ripper on the Cascades.
I could see that.
that was a shit show, the first lap on the Cascades for me.
It was funny. I was walking up, and I was watching you come down, and I was like, oh, boy, he's in that Ripper. And for a lot of people that don't know, the Ripper – you know, if you've seen any of the videos that we made on the Ripper, it doesn't have a lot of rocker in the bow. So you get your rocker from tail loads. Is that right? You get your rocker when you load the tail and come off a boot. The problem with the Cascades, you can do it, but it's not for someone that doesn't paddle the Cascades a lot. So you got to look at it from his point of view. He's not down here doing 15 laps every time it releases. Like, I figured it out and I know about where to time it and load it, but I'm watching about, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be awesome. Like, he's going to get to work somewhere.
Almost ruined my whole weekend, knocking my elbow out on the horns of God, you know, but it's all good.
But then the code was Captain Save-A-Ho and came through and then took care of you after that.
Like, your code felt really nice. Never been before. You know, I got it out of your van, slapped some outfitting in it real quick and got in it. And, yeah, it felt awesome, man. You know, going down the Cascades in a new boat, for someone like me, could be a scary experience. But, yeah, it took care of me for sure. I rolled on Chinese feet, but that was my fault. And the water was literally dropping out while we were running it, which was insane.
It's crazy because I didn't know they were turning on that early, but it started filling up at like 2:45.
2:45? Holy crap.
Yeah, because I got there around about maybe 1:30, 1:40. I was there just, you know, doing my normal walkthrough and all that. And I was like, as soon as I got done with the walkthrough, I noticed the water was already starting to rise up. And I was like, holy crap, it's already rising.
It literally was dropping. I don't know if you noticed, if you saw me on it, but like, I got through Kahuna. I mean, Kahuna was even a stretch. When I got through that, I was like, damn, I should just get off the river, because it's like, I mean, it was shrinking like crazy. So I tried to take the middle line at Chinese feet, and it was literally like trying to do an attainment up the river, which is not possible.
That run is manky. For anyone that doesn't know the Cascades, we're talking about the Nidahala Cascades. And man, when it's manky with water, when a normal release, when it's got about 400, you've done it at 400, which is like good. 600's even better. 9's probably about to cut off. It gets too dangerous. But about 4 to 6, wow, that's such a fun run. It's so fun. But you start getting around the 250. I think it was 250 that day.
I don't know what it was when I finished. Probably 100. I don't know.
Yeah. It get down to natural flow.
Yeah. So that day and the day the Saturday we ran the West Fork, just so people know, I had the seat in your demo. It was middle. And I was still catching some back enders, slightly, not terribly, but it was catching me a little bit. Comparatively, you know, best thing I can compare it to is a goat, because I don't really have another creek boat. I have the Billy Goat, but that's more of a medium boat. So I'm not going to compare apples to apples there. But even the goat, I don't really get stern or back-endered, and the code was catching me on the stern quite a bit. So then Saturday night, when I actually got my full production boat that came from NOC, I outfitted it and moved the seat pretty much all the way forward.
You knew that from paddling it. You're like, I'm knocking this forward. Yeah, I've done that, paddled one day, and I'm like, okay, I can tell you right now, I got to be forward or back.
And I think, I mean, you saw me on Saturday, dude. I mean, I could splat that thing just about stern squirt it. I mean, not all the way by any means, but I mean, I could get it under, which is crazy for a creek boat. I moved that thing forward, bumped the thigh braces one, and it did make a world difference. I'll tell you, it paddles great, even with the seat forward. All that bow rocker, it evens out the weight. And my buddy was watching like my lines on the boat, and I actually raised my parting line on the water up by like probably half an inch, just moving the seat forward.
Cause you moved the seat forward and it balanced it out more in the center. You felt you were sitting back. Cause as you know, I've got all three, and when I was comparing them, the small is differently. It doesn't have as much volume behind the tail as the medium. I mean, we're talking drastic.
Drastically.
So it's not just a little bit smaller, it's just drastically a different boat, and the edges look like they were a little sharper on it too.
No, for sure. The edges are awesome, man. Like, I mean, I can whip that thing into eddy no problem. It feels like a ripper almost, in the fact that you can just carve that thing into an eddy or turn it around.
Comparison right there, buddy.
It is a bold comparison, but I'll tell you, I mean, it's caught me even off guard like a ripper occasionally and flipped me over, which I don't roll down river a lot, but think I rolled down river like four times this weekend, which isn't a bad thing, but yeah, I mean, it's a good thing for me because like they say in the video, it's like a beginner to expert boat, but you know, being an advanced boater, I like some edge, and it's a great boat. It's not like a Zen 3, which was pretty much primarily for a beginner. It's totally like primary stability. It's hard to even flip that thing over. Like the Code, man, you can, it's nimble. You can go back and forth in that thing. It's awesome.
Yeah. And see, the Z3 is actually the boat that, you know, the Code. So right now is actually a really good time to be in that river runner or creeker category. Cause you got boats like the Z3, the Piranha Scorch, the Dagger Code, I guess the Billy Goat, and probably, I wouldn't say the Zet 5. I would say the Zet 5 is more like a true creeker, like a downriver top creeker. So there's actually a pretty good, that's a good comparison too, is the Z3. And that's what, that boat was made too damn soft. That might be the softest boat ever. I've only been in it once. I'd like to do a full-on review on one, but I don't know anybody that actually owns one. So
I got it. I got in an NOC and like, I couldn't even roll. Like I could legit not, I couldn't even get it over to roll. Like that's how much.
The initial stability was insane. Way they did the, so it was really wide and I looked at it and it just transitioned like that. And it was like, almost like a fishing kayak to me. I was like, wow, yeah. Fishing rod.
The Code feels more like, yeah, I can get it on edge, but it's more like a rounded edge like this. Like when you get it on edge where the Scorch, even the medium, like I can get it on edge and kind of sit it there like that, wobble one way or the other. Which is nice though when you're going down river, it deflects waves and like rocks, like going through the green, it would just shed rocks right off the side, like no issue.
Yeah, with that rail that's tucked up under on it, they tuck those rails down and then taper that off the sidewall really deep. And that's one thing I was noticing in the walkthrough was that, yeah, it's wide, but it tapers off and there's a rail there. So I think Dagger nailed it as far as a all around. Like maybe you can add to this, but I think Dagger nailed it as far as like an all around downriver / creek boat training. We're talking like someone walks in the NOC and says, "I'm starting out kayaking. What do you recommend?" You could say a Code, and like sell them a spray skirt, helmet, life vest, and get them out on the water and get them some training. Wouldn't you think so?
No, I agree because my style of teaching somebody a boat is not to put them in some full displacement boat where they can just go down river and not have to worry about edges. I think the Code has a great balance of good edge control that you have to learn, and but also good initial stability where they're not going to just be flipping over on little crap all the time. So like it gives you that you can start out as a beginner, but you can also use the Code to progress in advanced paddling, which is, it's nice in a boat. Not a lot of boats can do that. It's either usually one or the other. Like a lot of the Piranha boats are obviously more extreme edging. Beginner paddlers aren't going to like that as much, with the exception of the Machno, which is more like a kind of get in and go and not have to worry about flipping over type boat. But
have you paddled a Machno much?
I've paddled a small once on some Class 2 stuff. I personally did not like it. It felt really slow to me and didn't have a lot of edge and was hard to carve and felt like a tank.
You paddled a Nomad, a small Nomad?
I have not paddled a Nomad ever. No.
Well, you need to. You want something with no edge and slow. Well, there you go.
That was a small Mamba way back when, and that felt slow.
The 7.5, the original Mamba? Yeah. 7.5 or the...
You know, man, I grew up on spud boats and whatever.
Yeah, so. And I get it. You know, like we were talking about, a lot of smaller paddlers, especially here in the Southeast, they always paddle bigger boats. You look at somebody like Levi Rhodes, you know, he's always like, screw that. I want a large. The dude wants a fucking large Scorch, like at like 140.
I mean, I can't comprehend that. I mean, but I
can't comprehend that. I don't even want a large Scorch. I'm like 180.
Levi's an awesome dude. I have no anything towards him, but like I don't get it. I don't know. I could never do that.
I wish I had his number. Fuck it. I should hit him up right now and just pull him in.
I would be getting pinned left and right on the green if I was in a large boat or even a medium. I mean, I know Elliot from NOC paddles a medium. He's like, dude, getting a medium, like a medium feels like a damn barge to me. I'd rather get back injured 10 times on a river and have to roll up than paddle a medium boat.
Well, that's probably your play boating background. You're used to kind of like working that current a little more. It seems like to me when you get in larger boats, anyway, for me anyway, when I get in a larger boat, I feel like I'm detaching myself from the river a little bit. And I'm driving over things. But then when I get back in a smaller boat, I feel like I sit down in the water and I use the flow a little more. I'm a little more conscious of lines when I'm in a smaller boat. If I'm in a bigger boat, like I paddle that Scorch X, shit, I didn't even care, dude. I'm like, I'm going for everything. I would look for shit to just run over because it was like I was so high out of the water and the amount of bow rocker was allowing me to go over things. So I find that bigger boat is kind of like a trade-off. Like I paddled the large code and I paddled the medium code and large codes, and they're drastically different boats. They're drastically the large code.
Yeah. For me, it's like you say, it's like a trade-off. So you're trading off down river. Yeah. I could paddle a medium boat just fine and go over pretty much any damn feature. I could go blow through probably any hole in the upper galley with a medium boat. No problem. But like, tight technical rivers, I don't like it.
After a while, that's really not fun anymore. Just blowing over everything. And that's where I had a problem with the Nirvana. That's why I started disliking the Nirvana. I felt like it was so big that thing would just blast over everything. Unless I got on massive, massive rivers, it really didn't even shine. I didn't think the Nirvana was that good on Southeast Creeks. And then I took it out west. Wow, this boat's fucking good. It's a really good boat. Really good boat out west. But at down here, like, it's just okay.
Like, if we went out there and paddled, I'd like to take the Billy Goat because it's long, a little longer and faster and stuff than the Code. I feel like I would do better with that. But, like, the Code, as far as southeast, man, that thing's going to be a freaking monster. Like, it's really good. It's going to be a really good boat. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think for the Southeast paddlers, especially Southeast and Northeast, you know, those New Hampshire's, Maine, New York, it's the same style. It's a little more mankier than you know, down in the Southeast and those West Virginia type boaters too. I think the Code would be an excellent choice for that style of creeks, in my opinion. And probably Colorado too. A lot of the Colorado stuff is kind of like, I always say Colorado's more like big volume mank, if that makes any sense. You know, you get all that stuff, it's big volume mank, but a boat like the Phantom or Nomad went extremely well out there. So that tells me the Code's probably going to do extremely well out there too. Was it something negative? Because that's what I want to know. What was your worst takeaway from the Code? We all know the good shit. We all need to.
Yeah.
I know you fluffed it all weekend, but I want to hear some.
No, negative. I mean, really, the only,
because I heard you ran into Snowy out there.
I did. Yeah, I did. No, the only negative outfitting wise, the only negative I have is the thigh. For me, at least, the thigh hooks are a little thin. I like to see a little broader thigh hooks, kind of like Waka and stuff, or at least some options like a hooker or style for like Piranha gives you.
And Jackson's bees knees. Don't forget your Jackson's bees knees.
Something, I don't know. But anyway, the leg lifter does help that and kind of counteracts that. My skinny thighs falling out. I'm like, I have chicken.
When you're saying too thin, you're saying the thigh braces felt flexible or?
No, like they just don't come out wide enough. So like my knees can fall out. But like I say, if I push that, the leg lifter up enough, it kind of pushes my thighs in there and it really didn't run into an issue.
Have you adjusted your thigh hooks? Did you try that yet?
I moved them forward. Okay.
You went one notch forward with the thigh hooks. You didn't go
which
back.
Which did help. No.
You wanted it to kind of hit more into
the because my seat went all the way forward.
Oh, that's right. So. Yeah, you did right then because you moved – when you move outfitting, you want to move seat, bulkhead, and thigh braces kind of like together. I always tell people that. Don't just move the seat and say, I'm good. Move your bulkhead and thigh braces all as one unit.
Yeah, the only other negative, like I say, is it's a true small boat. So it's going to be one of those boats where somebody my weight's really going to have to decide, even at 135 or 140, is a small right for them or is a medium right for them? I think that's the biggest question we'll both get on these reviews, you know, which size is going to be best for people. It's kind of like CJ. He bought a small and he's 165.
I already pulled him aside.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, I don't know the easy response to that question that people ask me, but like I said personally earlier in this podcast, like for me, if it's between getting back injured occasionally and paddling a small boat, but having more maneuverability and getting tired less, especially on a freaking hike like the West Fork where you got to carry it 40 minutes down a hill, like small all day long.
Yeah.
Now, if we were going out to North Fork Payette, maybe I would take the medium, but like I would take the small probably 90% of the time at like 135, 140. If you're 150, that's one of those ranges, man. It's right on the edge. Like it's probably, I don't know.
Yeah, it's good you mentioned that because I had all three sizes lined up. And one of the things, one of the biggest questions I started getting through like the review is, what size should I be? Should I get a small or medium? And it seems like a lot of people are stuck in between the small and medium. And I think people don't realize how small the damn small is. I actually had a plan of paddling the small, medium, large until I sat in the small in the parking lot. And I went, wow.
Dude, you would be floating down the river.
I'm still going to paddle it.
Yeah, but I'm making you take that down the green at 200%.
And just like ride off the tail the whole way. The thing was, it had a very low deck on it, very low setting deck. And I don't like a low setting deck. I like my knees to be in a kind of good upright position. It set my knees low and it was a little thick in the thigh area. So I could just, it's a feeling you get. You're like, wow, this is way too damn small for me. So when CJ told me, oh, I ordered a small, I'm like, dude, you're like 160. You're not that much like lighter than me. And I was like, dude, I can tell you right now, I think he would be, especially now this applies to creek boats. You can get away with this on half slices, as you know. You can go like with the small on a half slice. But when it comes to like river runner creekers, I'm like, dude, go to the medium. He's just going to be subbing out on everything. He'll never do the true potential of the code by going in a small. I think he's going to push his rails down and it's going to go like too low. He's going to be floating too deep in the water and the boat won't perform properly. That's just a theory. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't know. I would like to paddle the medium just to give it a shot, but what is the width on that sucker? Like 27?
27 inches on the width on the medium.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I would have to put 4 seat shims easily on each side. I mean,
you're going to be hitting your elbows too.
It would be a monster boat. I mean, that's where it comes into trouble on me. Like, it's like somebody like 125, though. Holy crap, the small is going to be like so good. So good. Yeah. So any girls out there or small guys, if you're around that weight, it's going to be like really good boat for you. Now, I don't know. Like I said, we don't know about the small Scorch yet, but as of right now, that code is definitely awesome design. You know, not being partial to it or anything. It is a good boat. It's fast. It comes off the speed good, like right off the bat. And like if you're stopped and just turn into an eddy, man, it's got good speed. You can check out a couple clips of Go Left that I ran this weekend. Yeah, it just plows through stuff. I liked it a lot.
I noticed you might have seen this too, right around the knees area. It's very wide right in front of your knees. So when I would come off stuff, it doesn't sub out at all. It lands flat there and it takes off. And I think that also helps. So even if the bow rocker helps me initially get off a booth, but then when I land in aerated water, I notice it just landed like really wide. It had a wide feel up there. Did you notice that? Like when you landed, I think I watched that Go Left line that you sent me.
Yeah. If you can see my Go Left line, like, the bow like goes up after I land and like almost over that middle rock, you know, that you have to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's hitting that
all American, all-American booth. I got a really nice booth off that this weekend too. That was pretty sweet. It did sub out in Kahuna though. I mean, I took the very middle line and it didn't really sub out per se. It plugged, but like it came right up. Like it was like shot out like a rocket.
Well, that's a good thing. So it was very predictable in the way it resurfaced. So you felt when it subbed, it didn't go up. Because one of the things you're always worried about is a boat's unbalanced and it goes up to the left or the right. You're saying it went down and just came straight back up. And
It came straight back up. And I'm sure it only subbed because one, I beatered it and didn't take a good boost stroke. So that's not the boat's fault by any means.
That happens.
And two, I'm probably on the heavier side. I mean, yeah, they say 100 to 160, but I say even 130 to 140, you're probably on the heavy side of that boat. I mean,
dude, I sat in it and I'm thinking 110, maybe 105. Let's just go ahead and make a new weight range for the small code. 100 yeah, pounds to 145.
I would say yes. I would say yes. I mean, it, truly, if you're doing a class 5 plus, I would say 140.
Yeah, because I was like, at 180, I was like, I'm way too heavy just sitting in the parking lot. I was like, I'm way too heavy for this.
Yeah, we got to do a video.
You're saying you're heavy. You felt heavy in it.
We got to do a video of you in the small.
Well, yeah, I mean. How about this? I got a video idea. You in the large code, me in the small code.
You know, I could literally crawl up in the field.
I know. That's why let's put a stack of books in it. That's what we'll do. We'll put those books. What are they? I've actually got some guidebooks. We'll stack some guidebooks up so you can set in it and let you paddle the large and I'll paddle the small. How about that? Well, it'll probably work out better for you than me.
Maybe, yeah. Well, talking about edges on the code, I mean, you saw me on the West Fork. Like, I'm telling you, it's got sharper edges than people are going to think.
On the small.
On the small. Yeah. And I've never paddled the medium or large. But, yeah, I like to hear Sage's thoughts on the small and how she thinks the edges and stuff.
Well, hopefully I can get her on here and see, because I'd like to hear her thoughts on the small code, because she's probably – right around that weight range. You know, I'm not going to try to guess her weight and piss her off, but I'm just going to say she's probably within the weight range that between the 100 pounds to, you know, the 140. So I think she might be right in that sweet spot for handling that. And the way I watched her video going down the North Fork and the way it handled the North Fork, it makes sense to me. It floats.
Yeah, I noticed she paddled the Phantom on the Untouchables. So I was curious to see her decision on that.
No, I'd have to look into it.
I've never paddled a Phantom. I need to borrow yours, see what it paddles like, just so I know.
Oh, but for sure. Well, you're definitely taking a step back on the Phantom if you by paddling the code. And the Phantom to me is more like a small medium. I guess it would be a true medium to me. I think it's a true medium. It's smaller than you think. It to me, the Phantom fits smaller than the medium code.
Now, what about the Billy Goat? Did you think that was a small medium or
that's a small medium?
Okay.
Yep. Definitely.
I mean, that's what I think.
That's a medium. You know those guys that wear the shirts? You ever see those dudes wearing the shirts so they could show their muscles? That's a medium. You need to get an extra small shirt. Go put like one of your wife's shirts on, and then flex. So that's a medium, and that's how I felt the Billy Goat was.
Yeah, that one, speaking of the Billy Goat, that one, the tail on that one, I think they kind of messed up on, and you kind of saw that when you paddled it.
But I was heavier for it.
I wasn't a huge fan of that. I mean, I've paddled a lot of boats. I like to compare one river, but ain't much running right now. But Green's pretty much been my testing ground. The Billy Goat, it just felt like the tail gets pushed around a lot, and you can't load it at all for a booth, which I hated. That was my biggest negative about that boat. Like, that's why I just
from the goat.
Yeah, I'd rather just paddle the goat personally, because I felt just as comfortable.
I had a lot of time in the goat. Like, you know, I got a lot of different runs in the goat, and I was like, damn, they nailed it. The goat's a really good river. The goat is not close to a half slice. I mean, we could do another podcast and do like a whole thing on half slices, because we paddled about every half slice out there, but I agree with you. It's like, if I paddled the goat and then when I went to the Billy Goat, I was kind of expecting kind of that same wow, and it wasn't there. I think when you added all that volume, now I can't load the tail. The thing just floated flat with me, where the Billy Goat, I would load that thing and come off that tail. I didn't have the goat. I could load it and come off, but the Billy Goat, I couldn't load it. It just got pushed around, and then it loaded in those stupid, big, huge hand pockets they made. And then it would load and flip on you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the wide stern on the goat, I mean, it prevents you from getting back in it. So there's really no need for the volume. I mean, if you're like 180 and under, that boat is superb for anybody who wants like.
I would say like 160 and under personally, but.
Okay.
I think they have up to 200 on it.
They do. Yeah, I wouldn't say 200 by any means.
No
way.
I was throwing
out a number there. What do you weigh again? 175?
I like 175, 180. Maybe after, like you said, all those Cascades laps and walking West Fork, I probably lost about 5 or 10. But I'll gain it back by next couple of days.
Anything else on the code? I can't remember. I'm trying to think of anything
We talked about the Battle Rocker. We talked about what's your opinion of Dagger's colors? I mean, I go on about that. Me personally, I'm going to give you my opinion of this, and then you could tell me. I'm not a big fan of multicolor boats. I like a solid colored boat. I really would like to see Dagger go to like five solid colors and do like a promotional or maybe a seasonal multicolor, kind of something badass and cool, but have your lime, your red, your orange, your yellow, and maybe do a pink or purple for kind of like a more kind of soft color, and kind of like have that lineup. And then once a year, do like a promotional color, like something crazy for like a seasonal, you know, it could be, you know, whatever. That's my opinion on that. I'm not a fan of those multicolor boats. I don't know what it looks like you went solid red.
Yeah, red's my favorite that they have right now. Not a lot of choices to choose from. I don't like the Aqua Fresh at all. It looks like a can of toothpaste. And then the Aurora, whatever you call it. It's fine. I mean, honestly, I'd rather have that one than Aqua Fresh. But, yeah, I agree with you, man. I miss, like, a solid orange. I love orange. Is my favorite color. Dan used to get those solid orange Jackson boats, and he went to the pink. But, like, I wish they made an orange boat. You know, the Piranha mixing colors, they look good.
I'm more partial towards
Fade. Dagger does that, like, line thing.
They call that the river.
It didn't look very well.
I'm just not a fan of it.
I agree with you. I think they should do like a purple, pink, orange, red, lime, blue, maybe. I don't know.
And from a manufacturing standpoint, that's a lot easier. I mean, you got to think, for them to do a Cosmos, right? The molder has to go over there and weigh 24 pounds of black. He has to weigh, you know, this much teal, this much red, and this much Cintron now. So it's like 3 pounds, 2 pounds, until you get the weight, whatever the weight, the hull weight is. And the margin of error is huge in manufacturing when it comes to that. Imagine now he goes over and weighs whatever, 35 pounds of just green, just blue, just orange. The manufacturing even gets easier. So yeah, to me, what they told me was that it was kind of their brand identity. And to get rid of that, you would kind of go in. Hopefully I can get someone on from Dagger, the project manager there, and he can argue to us, because I'll argue with him. I'm like, I'm telling you, I hate him. And he was telling me that it was like brand identity, that you lose that identity. But I'm like, do it for a year, and if it doesn't work, then do all multis next year. How about that? Offset years. Would you be fine with that?
So, yeah, I mean, it's trial and error. Who cares? Whichever. Try it out. Try some different stuff.
Yeah, get rid of the river.
Personally, I think Aqua Fresh people aren't a huge fan of. You know, it's kind of right now you get what you get, because there are no boats available. Especially,
I agree with you. If I was going to go right now, the color lineup, and I'd go red first, and if I had to go second, I'd go Aurora. And then I would do Aqua Fresh, and I would probably do Cosmos last.
Yeah, I just don't like any. I don't like any black. It's just it's hot. Yeah,
I'm just not a fan.
I agree. Yeah, I like the Waka Black too. It's just a scratch. Even the red. I mean, it's just a scratch. It's like crazy.
Dude, but you should see these Cosmos boats. I've done like four or five. It looks so bad. It looks like I've just beat the shit out of them, and I really haven't. I was taking the cleanest lines I could find, and they just look brutal. That black, that Cosmos black.
So Dagger listening right now, they should give us a medium rewind to give away to somebody, because that's like a lucky pot of gold right now.
Yeah, yeah, I think you need to find a little leprechaun running around for that one, buddy.
People always post on those things while we're on Dagger. They always post on the gear swaps, like, in search of medium reel. I'm like, good luck.
They put $999 million in
search of medium reel. You better have a chance of winning the freaking Mega Millions, like one in 175 million.
Medium or small? The small rewind's pretty hot too. Hey, ain't it funny that nobody wants the large? Have you even seen a large? Have you ever seen
one? I went to Admax River Company not too long ago, dude. They had like 19 larges, and I'm not like ever graduating. It was like 15 to 19 largest lined up in the back. Like
that was one instance right there that I paddled the large just kind of briefly. And when I was like, yowch, I think they went 9'4" on it. They went really big. And that thing is almost exclusively a river runner. I mean, you've got like 220 pound guys that struggle to get that boat stern squirted. I was talking a dude the other day, and he's like, I can't get that large down. I was like, yeah, dude, you should be in a medium. I'm like, how heavy are you? He's like, I'm like 210. I was like, oh, for sure, go medium. Move the seat forward. That way you're not so tail heavy. But a 220-pound guy could easily paddle the medium fine, and he'd be playful.
Yeah, I was trying to think of anything else. Looking back at this thing.
Did you figure out your foot foam?
I did, yeah. I got that going on.
Okay. Matt struggled with putting foot foam in, just for you guys that didn't know. He didn't know the difference between his left and right.
That's right. Dumb. I'm dumb. Got a low IQ. did they switch out the bolts? Like, I noticed that you had to have the Allen key and a Phillips head. Has that always been dagger?
It's always been that way because it's been too hard to source out. Believe it or not, it's very difficult to source out that Phillips head bolt. I've been going on about that. I hate it when manufacturers put two different styles of screw heads on things. You know, they have that button head or socket head, like number four.
They actually have three because the Allen key with the little dot in it, whatever you call that.
That's a Torx. That's like a security Torx 25.
Torx, and then the Phillips. So they actually have three on them. But I'll say, man, both the demo you let me try and my boat have been dry, super dry boats.
And you run a bungee or ran? Which one are you?
Well, I did run a bungee on that because my only bungee I got that fits the cockpit
Did you have a toe tether on when you did it?
I like that vomiting pose there.
Did you have a toe tether on while you did it?
No,
a knife mounted on the front of your
head? At least have an IR Klingon Empire, like the best bungee you can get.
I used your bungee. Yeah, I used your bungee in that video that I did of Rand versus bungee. That's a really good bungee. I admit that is the top. And if you're going to go bungee, go that.
Well, speaking of Johnny Ortiz, you know, I asked him today if he had a Rory Al my size, but no, they do not.
Oh, no, small.
No, I just don't have one right now, but I would use the Rory Al if I could.
But you got a Klingon.
Either way.
You got a Klingon and a
Klingon Empire, yeah.
What? And you have a Rand?
I have a Rand for the bigger size cockpits like the Goat and the Rivers. Yeah, I have.
And you're saying, well, that was one of the things was, you know, Dagger used to catch a lot of crap about being the leakiest boat out there. But, man, when it comes to my, like, creek boats and river runners, it was dry. I mean, until I started messing around. I mean, if I start, like, flipping and trying, like, play around a lot, surfing and loops or something, I'm getting water in. But it's like, if I'm just paddling downriver, they're dry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to bash manufacturers or anybody.
Bash them. I want to hear some bashing.
Well,
bring out the bat.
Both my rippers, they leak like sieves, and I've tightened things down.
Check your drain plug.
I put goop on the bolts, and they
still took the drain plug out and looked at it?
That's nice. Maybe I need to do that.
So I took the drain plug off, put goop on it, put it on there, never leaked again. And think about it. The ripper tail stays underwater the whole time.
You know what's weird too? My small Antics has no holes and it leaks like a sieve. And I actually put goop all around
the whatever. Paper. Jackson's boats don't leak. Get the hell
still,
out of here.
Still leaked with goop on the drain plugs. I don't know what's going on.
No way. It's got to be your spray skirt fit.
It's all those little micro holes they have in the boat.
Oh, yeah. Porosity. It's micro. Yeah, it's surface pitting and it's through the boat. No, that's. I don't believe you. I think you just got like a shitty spray skirt on the Jackson boat. That was one of the Antics was one of the driest boats I've ever paddled. When I did get water in, it was usually down through my gear.
It must be that IR Klingon then. I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Immersion Research, are you listening?
I doubt it.
How many people do Werner have working for them? Because their paddles are.
I don't know. Maybe like 50. It's a big factory.
Yeah.
What kind of paddle you run?
Strike 194, regular offset, small shaft.
Small, man, why a 194 and you're what? You're 5'10", 5'9"?
Yeah.
And you're running a 194. Y'all hear that? You should easily have a 197 or 200.
You don't even want to know what I run for my playboat.
Oh, well, that's different. I give anybody a pass with playboats because you want fast strokes. Yeah.
191.
There's nothing wrong with that player, for a playboat. Yeah.
Player 191.
Yeah, I like
it. I've never tried a 197, so I don't know. It could be fine.
I got a Lettman, and I can adjust it to whatever length I want. So if you want to try a 197, just give me the word. One click, 197.
So I could buy four strikes.
Yeah, if Warner would ship them.
That's true.
You're not buying any strikes, buddy. You're buying whatever.
I have one on order right now with Johnny. They should be here in September.
So you didn't like the Stikine?
I've never tried it.
Have you ever tried a foam core at all?
Never have, no.
Once you go foam, you won't go back.
I actually ordered a carbon, what is it, the Sherpa. I wanted to try that, so I ordered a carbon Sherpa.
The Sherpa was like the one to the powerhouse, right? It was like a smaller version of the powerhouse.
I think so. I do want to try one of those paddles. Was it Select paddles? I want to try those on a long, like kind of a couple weeks.
Our buddy Don at High Water Hobbies, shout out. You had to slide that in there, didn't you?
I did.
So the High Water
Hobbies. I do want to try one, though. I do want to try one.
I looked at them when I was there. Did you look at his? Did you use it at all?
I used it a little bit. My main complaint was like the blade on the bottom. So like when you're taking a paddle stroke, it's like the blade on the bottom side doesn't come down enough and scoop the water. So it's almost like it forces you to take that vertical power, the paddle stroke, which is, I guess, a good thing in some sense. But if you're a little bit lazy, it's kind of like skips across the water like a rock. I don't know. We'll see.
I've got a buddy here, Andrew Hiltbrand, and he lives here in Nashville. And he, you ever seen the Ophion paddles?
I've seen your reviews, but I've never seen one in person. Or
to me, they look like they're a higher end Select paddle. Like that's the only thing with the Select paddles. I'm definitely curious. Hopefully, Don will let one of us review one because there's really nothing out on them, right?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, there's, I mean, who's running, hey, Select, who's running your damn PR department? I can't find, I'm not seeing a single video on Select paddles outside what Don's put out, right?
That's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but as far as like showing how the blade, just what you told right there was probably more information than their entire PR department's put out about how that blade catch.
Yeah, if anybody's interested, the paddle feels good. It feels light.
It feels strong.
Real constructed. It's just like, I don't know, it's something about the bottom half of the blade that's like, it needs like another half inch on it to cup the water a little bit more. I don't know.
It's a different feel. Yeah, so I told Don I was interested, but I wanted to do more of a playboat paddle. He told me there's different ones. I can't remember the name of them, but I wanted more of a play paddle. And just kind of like offset, because I've all my paddles are like offset river runners. They're like Surge, Letman, Odachi, and the only play paddle I have is my old AT Super Light. And I wanted something. If I'm going to use something, I want to see how it play an all around paddle, just like, you know, like a powerhouse or something, without that offset blade.
I can't remember the play betting one. There's the Pulse, the Wilderness, maybe. The Warrior is definitely the creek boat one.
I think it's the Pulse. That was it.
Maybe the Pulse.
The Pulse is kind of like the all-around play blade. Yeah. So I don't know.
I've always been interested to try the AT. What's the AT play boat paddle? I know.
Buddy, AT's done. They're out of business.
I know they're out of business.
Talking about the Samurai.
Samurai,
Hercules, and Geronimo. Geronimo. That whole company went, Geronimo. Right?
We need to open a paddle company because you need your paddles.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Good luck on that. You must want to go bankrupt.
It'll be fun.
You'll sell tens of them.
What about accent paddles? You ever try one of those?
I don't know.
While we're on the topic of paddles.
Yeah. The only person that's still hanging in there with accents, Bobby Miller. That dude, man, he's going to go down in flames with the accent paddles. He's never paddled with anything else. close clear up Bobby with a 212 length paddle. I don't know. I don't know anyone that uses actually, I know there was a young kid, one of the Long Creek kids here, Holt McSpasher or whatever they call him. He used to use one, and I used his on the Chattooga. Man, they feel tough. They're very tough, but shape-wise, they're terrible. They could definitely use some design work, in my opinion. That was, I'm not giving them like an official review because it was only like a few rapids I got to use it. But I'd love to have one to kind of like go through an official review on, because what I noticed, the shape was just not good.
I've never seen one, so I couldn't really comment on it. I'm just curious.
But it felt bomber. Felt like you could like drop a damn tree down with it.
That's how those old Lightning paddles used to be. Like, literally, you could run over them with a semi and they would just pop right back
Robson.
Up.
Yep. Those are rebranded Robson paddles out of, I think, Germany. Is it Germany?
Those things were sick.
Yeah. Yeah, the old chloroform. I don't even remember that. They had, like, one was like a leaf and, you know, the American flag one. They were good. The Lightning paddles were tough. I think their shafts broke.
Didn't they come back for a while? Didn't EJ try to make those for a while?
He distributed them out of the Jackson factory for a while.
Were they the same type of quality or were they different?
I'm not sure, but they used them there for a while. All the Jackson cronies, you know, they ran those all the time. They were the only ones, and then eventually they just went straight to Warner. I guess they finally woke up. Yeah. Warner's been doing it for 50 years. That's the problem. Good luck competing with somebody who's been doing something for 50 years. But, yeah.
I told you we could talk for like 12 hours. We could talk for 3 days about
it. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. So my ultimate goal is to try to get this on iTunes and Spotify, because I don't think anybody's going to sit in front of a YouTube TV or YouTube phone and watch.
Podcasts. I don't know, dude. You'd be surprised nowadays, because like I told you, like when I travel, I put YouTube on.
Yeah, Netflix.
And just watch.
You're
videos.
A danger. You're a danger to society.
Danger to myself and others.
Yeah. But I do the same thing. I know what you mean. You let it play. It's playing through Bluetooth or it's playing through the speakers. Yeah. So hopefully there'll be more ways of doing it. The code. Look at that. That's his new, screensaver, by the way.
It is. We need to insert some videos in this thing.
Figure it out. Yeah. We'll have some playing in the side. I'm going to have that one of you carp and rolls and almost swimming at Mini Gorge.
Oh gosh, when they almost swim, that's for sure.
You don't think so?
You're dying for me to swim, though.
No, I don't want you to swim. Mm-mm, I don't want anybody to swim. I just thought it was funny. You didn't even take a single paddle stroke. And I was like, the one I worried about the most was CJ. I was like, CJ's going to get his ass handed to him in that fucking Axiom. I was like, it's got no rocker. And I was like, he's going to plug that hole, go up. Believe it or not, dude, he styled it, didn't he?
That's CJ for you, you know.
I've
been out with it for 10 years.
Yeah. he almost messed up Flight Simulator pretty good. He ran far left, and he pitted himself in the top hole.
Imagine if you were in that Gladiator right there.
Oh, yeah. I got a Gladiator on.
When is that on-water review coming out?
It's already uploaded. It might drop. I could drop it tonight. You want to drop it live right now?
I know a lot of people looking forward to that thing.
That's a good idea. Hey, will you come on here if we can get Josh on here?
Sure.
The two of us, since we both have experience in the boat. I don't think he'll do it, but I'd love to get someone from Varus. I tell you what, I know a couple of their team pilots that would love to just kind of like come on here and fuck off.
No.
That on-water review. And you know what? When the on-water review, I think I wanted to get that code one done pretty quick, a quick turnaround on it. And I'll drop that on-water review on the Varus Gladiator.
Is there anything else you want to talk about to actually put in the video?
I can't think of anything else on the code. I think that's pretty much it. I'll have an on-water review coming on the code. I'm sure you'll have some stuff on the code coming out. I know you have that walkthrough. What do you got coming?
I'll probably do a West Fork review and then a Nantahala and a Green combined.
Okay, nice.
And then I'm probably going to do a Billy Goat and Small Code. I know it's not the same.
That's a good
thing.
No, that's a good comparison. No.
But it's a medium versus a small boat kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, actually.
Scorch, I'll definitely do a comparison on those two.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good, man. Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty much all we got today. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. You know, it's went a little long, but I can go on about kayaks and bullshit all day long. But yeah, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for watching. If you like this, leave a comment below and go over and check out Matt's channel. What's your channel name, Matt?
Matt Wallen.
So Matt Wallen Kayak, type that in YouTube and it'll probably come up. He's going to have a lot more coming on the small code for you guys out there, you guys and girls out there that are interested in the small code. He should have some more stuff on that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got in this episode. We will be doing more episodes like this. I don't know what the hell it's going to happen, how it's going to go down, but we'll just figure it out as we go along. But yeah, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for watching. And I will catch you guys next time. Deuce, deuce.
All right. Deuce, deuce.